Torah and walk in Chavis al Bodas for you tonight. Yom, early Yom, hey, Kislev. So, talking about Hanukkah, so we have to talk about latkes and sufganiyot. So what do we know about latkes? We know that if it's made out of grated potatoes, then most poskim say you make a bar priho adama over it. Maybe it's a little shaila exactly why, but that's at least the consensus. But if it's made out of potato flour, then you would make a shahakol. If the flour is put there, of course, for binding purposes, then it would not change the bracha. If matzamel, or flour, regular flour, grain flour, or matzamel is put there for a binder, then it doesn't affect the bracha. That's latkes. Sufganiyot, you make a mezonos on. The way most of them are made, you make a mezonos even if you eat a lot of them. Where sufganiyot really presents a problem in Hilchos Brachos is if you eat it, not a problem, sufganiyot is never a problem except if you eat it, but the Hilchos Brachos problem is if you eat it during a meal. So if you eat it lesova somehow, then you don't make a bracha. The problem is if you eat it for dessert, then it's a shaila. And again, I think the consensus of most poskim is not to make a bracha on it at all if you're eating it during a meal, even if you're eating it for dessert, not to make a bracha over it. We won't go into the reasons now, it's too complicated. But so the first point is to make a mezonos if you're not eating it during the meal. No matter how many you eat, there's no inyan kvi yasuda. And then not to make a bracha on it if you eat it during a meal, even if eating it for dessert, not l'shem sova. Okay, we're in the Chavis HaLov, in the very last perek, and he just went through like a history, the way he sees the flow of history in terms of Koydim Matan Torah, and then Matan Torah, and then the special precious that Nazirim had, or B'nei Hanavim, and then he ends up that next to the last paragraph of the Shaar, he says, "Vayu rishonim b'koach sichlam, the tohar nafsham osim le'olamam uliachrisam." The earlier doros were able to do precious within a normal life. They didn't have to be poreish from society. They didn't have to be poreish from normal, what we call normal life. They were able to control themselves because they had more shlita over themselves. Again, if you walk away from the shaar with one thing, it would be that the real definition of precious is self-control, not abstaining. I mean, most of the time it manifests itself by abstaining, but that's not the real essence of the mida, call it, of the real essence is self-control. And you're poresh, so to speak, from the control of the yetzer over the seichel, but rather vice versa. He says the earlier ones, Tzami means in the time of Tanakh, were able to have normal lives, and osim la'olamam, meaning they didn't have to be poresh in an extreme, ulachrisam. They nechad mehem mafsidus hasheni. And everything had its place. Ka'omro avicha halo okal v'shosa v'asa mishpat utztaka. And he was able to handle that. Ba'omar tova shetechos b'zeh v'gamizeh al tanaches yodecha pazikin koheles. And that's what Chavis HaLov is learning. That's what it refers to. Like olam hazeh, so to speak, in its proper measure, for the proper purpose, with the proper perspective. And v'gamizeh al tanaches yodecha is Olam Abba. Now we come up to the very last paragraphs. Well, depending, I guess, on the print, if they made the different paragraphs. But the very last piece in Shaar HaPrishus. And it does a very interesting thing, the Chavis HaLov. He says, V'ra'isi achi, dabar nifla, b'inyan HaPrishus. I saw a wonderful write-up about Prishus, la'echad ha-chasidim. that he left over like a tzava for his son, like an ethical will. Some people write ethical wills. Rechavitz says he saw one about precious. I liked it. So that's going to be my conclusion to this shar. Kafisha Matsasi also. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change any wording in it. I'm not going to put in my own commentary. I'm just going to present it to you, the reader. I like it so much, I'm just going to give it to you. And now he starts it. We'll just give a quick start, and then we'll continue it. It's rather long. B'mekom tochachti l'cha. B'mekom tochachti l'cha. Manchayosi oscha eleha. That this savod, the person's writing to his son, is my final words to you, my tochacha to you, and my guidance to you. V'lochein havinehu. Study it, think about it, yashiv bo, contemplate it, tasik tov ba'emes amitz Hashem. Behenata b'ni yusimcha Hashem. Hashem should allow you to be. Oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That was still the words of the Chayvus Halvavus. I'm presenting it to you as I found it. B'mekom tochachti l'cha, as the Chayvus Halvavus talking. Instead of my concluding with Divrei Tochacha or Ga'ayin Van Chayos Yoscha Eleha, so instead of that, I'm presenting what this person wrote to his son. V'lochein havinehu, think about it, Nisyashebo, because I hold it's very well written and well said and well put. Tasuk Tov Emes Im Yetzah Hashem. That's the words of the Chayvus Halvavus. V'zeh Pesach Dvorav Bo, and now comes this Savo. V'heinato B'ni Yisimcha Hashem Mimisha Shomeya Umazin. It's really a beer of study. He says, the first thing is you have to listen. You have to open your ears and listen. You have to listen and you have to hear. Or you have to hear and you have to listen. Shomeya Umazin. Mazin, and then even after you've heard, Mizbonein. You have to think about what you've heard. Mizbonein, and then, Umisnaein. Then you have to act upon what you were Mizbonein. About what you listened to, about what you heard. Misnaheg velomein. And then you have to increase your limud. You can't just stay on the same level. Lomeid v'osa, do more. And okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue Mitzvah Shem next week.